This is Meet the Movie Press. It is January the 18th, 2019 on the show this week. Ghostbusters 3, More Impossible Missions, a Final Destination reboot. Told you that was going to happen. And a review of Glass, plus some exclusive Mary Poppins sequel news. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Meet the Movie Press.
It's Meet the Movie Press. It is January the 18th, 2019. My name is Simon Thompson. You can find me on social media at Showbiz Simon on Instagram and Twitter. And this is Simon Thompson on Facebook. You can see my work on various outlets across Tinternet and on television. With me this week, as usual, I don't know why I suddenly went all Shakespearean for that. Dimitri Panos, welcome back.
Hey,
who are you? Where can
fans?
We find you?
How are you? Well, you can find me here at Popcorn Talk Network's Meet the Movie Press.
Yes.
Also, Anatomy of a Movie will be coming back this week.
What are you talking about this week?
We will be talking about The Upside.
Okay.
Depending on what you think of
The Upside of coming back or the movie?
The Upside of coming back.
Fantastic. Yeah, good. Also here is Scott Menzel. Scott Menzel, who are you? Where can we find you?
Hi there. Scott Menzel, founder of WeLiveEntertainment.com.
You are.
You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheOtherScottM.
Fantastic. And if you are watching the show live, of course, on YouTube, you are more than welcome to engage with us on the chat. We would really appreciate that. We love to hear what you're talking about. So much to get through this week. We cannot cover every story. You might have your own favorite story of the week. If we get to it, that's great. If not, we're so sorry. Okay, let's talk about Jason Reitman, first of all, directing the new Ghostbusters movie, a sequel to the 1989 Ghostbusters 2, is what people are saying. Not a remake, not a reboot, nothing to do with the one that came out a couple of years ago that seems to upset pretty much everybody, who's a cis male. Let's talk about this. Personally, very excited. The news was announced earlier this week, and then within less than 12 hours, we had a teaser trailer online. People getting very excited about that. Okay, first of all, Scott, your thoughts on this. Do you want another Ghostbusters? Thoughts?
Here's the interesting thing. Is this movie already, like, partially done?
I'm kind of guessing so. The fact that they filmed, and the fact that it's been so secret. It's also out in 2020, summer 2020. So we're already
really soon
into almost the end of January. We've already had a teaser trailer at this point. My guess is the fact that production is at the very least underway, if not most of the way done.
Yeah, I get the feeling that it's
certainly casting is done.
The casting's done, yeah. and it's close. I'm going to say it's about halfway through filming right now, because if I was going to make a bet, I would say that it's going to start doing test screenings this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually really on board with this. I am a little worried about it, because even as a Ghostbusters fan, I can very happily admit that the second one is not good at all, and that had all the same cast and everything in there that it should have worked, but it didn't. And then I'm indifferent towards that remake that they did that everyone seems to hate.
I was indifferent to it too. I didn't hate it.
Yeah,
a lot of people, especially men, got very annoyed and very upset. It was a female cast. There is a trend in Hollywood for this happening, and there is a group of women don't tend to get upset about this stuff. Men get very upset about it. I don't quite understand why, because we still have the original movies. But I didn't hate that.
And I hope, and this is my, I said this to someone on Twitter yesterday, because again, everyone's like, now it seems like everyone's upset about this one. It's like, oh, we're going back to the fanboys and blah, 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 blah. I hope that just like they did in the new Ghostbusters where they had cameos, I'm hoping that someone is wise enough to put the cameos by the female Ghostbusters in this one.
That would work. I mean, one thing about the previous Ghostbusters...
Because you could kind of have two of them, right? Like, wouldn't that be great, like, if they actually joined forces in the end?
I could see a lot of people... That, I think, to be honest with you, I think cameos would be fine.
Yeah.
I think if they did anything more than that, people would be outraged all over again. And I just... I don't want to go through that again.
I know, I don't either.
Everyone's quitting Twitter.
Sorry, I can't talk this morning. Everyone's quitting Twitter because of that. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Wasn't that, what's her name?
The woman, well,
Leslie Jones.
From Leslie Jones, yeah. I remember she got so attacked. I remember it was ridiculous.
Well, I remember people got very upset because they'd put, not only was she a woman, but she was black. And right. It's like, oh, it's PC. I'm like, you do realize there was someone who was black
right.
in the other Ghostbusters
movies.
Ernie
Hudson. Yeah.
I'm like, this is not a revelation.
No. I mean, okay, to answer your question, yeah. A, I'm on board. I mean, I tweeted, as long as a Reitman is involved in directing, and it's in the same universe, I'm all for it. I like the Ghostbusters mm-hmm. movie. I feel the same way about you with Ghostbusters 2. I think there are moments in Ghostbusters 2. Just doesn't gel.
And people should be thankful because Ghostbusters, the remake, is better than Ghostbusters 2.
I disagree.
You do? I disagree with that.
Yeah,
you do?
I do. I disagree. Yeah, I disagree with that. Ghostbusters 2, I remember going to see that in the movie theater, and I wasn't a big fan of it. Over the years, I've found more appreciation for it. I've gone back and I've watched the Ghostbusters from, what, two, now three years ago?
Yeah.
And although I can still find it, it's still fine.
Yeah.
Nothing more than fine. It's you know, entertaining enough. That hasn't improved for me, or I haven't seen new things in it that I like the more than I see it, the more that I don't find any new, fresh appreciation for it. Mm-hmm. And going back to the cameos thing, one thing I genuinely disliked about
the
cameos and the way the cameos were in it. Now, someone was saying on Twitter, on the Meet the Movie press, I can't remember who it is, but was saying this week they don't want a reboot or remake. This is not a reboot or a remake. Right. This, from what we understand, is going to be within the Ghostbusters universe, so in some way connected to the original Ghostbusters movie, whether it's going to be directly connected to 2, whether it's going to be more directly connected to 1, we don't know, but it's in that universe. But this isn't a remake and it isn't a reboot. Right. Even if it was, we still have those original movies.
Right.
Nobody's deleting them. We still have them. And you're not obligated to go. I interacted with people this week saying, I'm not going to see this movie. Okay.
Nope.
That's totally fine. Yeah. Nobody's going to make you see this movie because you've seen the other Ghostbusters movies.
Well, from what I read is that it takes place in the original Ghostbusters universe, which is good. You know, but I also wanted to state, though, I was on board with the all-female Ghostbusters that came out a couple of years ago because of the cachet you had solid director, you had these fine comedic actresses in there. I was on board. I didn't mind the trailers. For me, when I actually sat down to watch the movie, it just wasn't funny. I was like, how do you make these women not funny? To me, I didn't laugh in it, so that's why I didn't like it. I didn't go in with an axe to grind for that movie. I actually was looking forward to it. This movie can turn out the same way.
Yeah.
It just might not be funny, but I was just happy to see that a Reitman was involved.
I'm glad you said that because that was my problem with the movie too. I just did not find it amusing, which on the other side of things, Ashley loved the movie. And she said that there was something about seeing the female Ghostbusters on screen, even though she could fully admit that it wasn't a great movie.
Yeah.
There was something refreshing about that because she remembers growing up with her brothers watching this and she had no like iconic franchises like that to like watch.
Sure.
And but she said it really struck, you know, seeing women kick ass was like sort of awesome.
But also on the comedy element, I mean, even though Ghostbusters is a comedy, it's not a lol, ruffle.
No.
You know, continual hilarity. It's more like it's funny. There are amusing moments, but let's not forget that final third. Even with the moments of levity, it's actually quite a serious.
Right.
That's when it goes to the more serious, dark end of things. So, I mean, you know, it's not exactly a ruffle fest, the first Ghostbusters, but it has a lot of humor in it.
But what's great about the first Ghostbusters, and Ivan Reitman has said this, he goes, he wanted to combine. He's a, you know, horror and comedy are really a good match.
Yeah,
and
very much
wanted to try to scare people yet make them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the cast. And with me, because when that all female Ghostbusters came out, I believe it was an anniversary for Ghostbusters.
I think it could have been
in like the year before. In any case, they released Ghostbusters in theaters for a short time.
I saw that.
I went and I saw it. And on the big, it's still holds up.
I'm really looking forward to, I'm sure at some point in the future, the new Beverly in LA is going to program Ghostbusters to show on the big screen. Yeah. I haven't seen it on the big screen since I first saw it on the big screen as a child on its original theatrical release.
Sure.
And I would really, I did it with Gremlins, I've done it with Monster Squad. There are certain movies from my childhood, like Willow is another one that I really want to see back on the big screen, because that's getting a re-release on Blu-ray in a couple of weeks. And I really want to experience this in a movie theater in that environment people again.
It's great.
I can only imagine.
If I can go back to this Ghostbusters, this Jason Reitman one, can we agree that, you know, we always talk about the worst kept secret in Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
This has to be one of the best kept secrets in Hollywood.
Yes.
Because when the news came out, it was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
They said yes? What?
Yeah.
When did this happen? Because you're usually fed all of this information.
Yes. It was nice to have a authentic surprise.
Yeah.
As opposed to like build up. Oh, yes, it's finally happening.
Well, and there's also a lot of stories where people go, oh, yes, I would love to do a, or I have an idea for. And then that story doesn't become a real project or whatever.
Right.
And everybody thinks, like the amount of times, like Back to the Future is a really good example of this, where someone says, oh, I have an idea for Back to the Future 4, maybe, blah, 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 blah. But this was the fact that this dropped as an actual story, a confirmed story, which was very much a real thing. And then a teaser trailer dropped. It made me more excited. Literally, it made me more excited about the project, going like, oh, this is cool. Oh, my God, this is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to also say
it's old school.
It's very interesting. Old school. Definitely old school.
Old school.
It's, I know that, you know, Jason Reitman's attached to this project, and of course, we know why, but it's interesting for him because this is a totally different type of project.
Yes.
He's very used to making very character-driven, smaller-scale films.
A lot of which haven't actually been financially successful.
Which is another point that I was going to make. So him taking on a franchise like this, it's a little bit of a risky move by Sony to make that happen as well.
I think the pedigree is there.
It's almost like they said, well, the front runner flopped, so now you're doing this.
And also, you wouldn't want to, I mean, from Jason's point of view, you wouldn't want to take on what is an iconic movie that is your father's iconic movie and then shit all over it.
Right.
So you're going to want to make sure that
there's a lot of pressure on him. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, man.
But
like,
I believe he was saying this week he was like on the set for the original movies and stuff like that. Well, as a surprise on the show, actually, we have Jason on the phone now. No, we don't.
See, that was going to be a surprise to me.
I'm just kidding. You were like, twat! You didn't mention that at breakfast. But generally, I'm really excited about this. Let's see what people are saying in the chat. Glamoury, we'll get to your comments on Glass later. Ghostbusters are back from Westy Kid. Sarah Brockle saying, is Jason Reitman trying to make it up to Baby Men for the Gillette commercial this week? I don't understand that thing this week. If you're probably upset by the Gillette commercial, you might. I think you're probably the problem and not the solution.
Yes.
It's crazy. The fact that those adverts have to be made is like makes us realize that we have a problem. And if you don't realize that you're the problem, they're going to keep making them until you realize that you do.
Yep.
Westy Kid, I would love a Ghostbusters movie like the originals, but I don't mind if they have girls in the squad. I just think we should. I mean, newsflash, women are everywhere. Women also do the same jobs as men.
Yes.
As good, sometimes better.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is one person that we know for sure isn't coming back in the cast.
Yes, that's true.
If they were,
someone said to me this week that you can only do this if you have the original cast. I went, well, Harold Ramis is dead.
Yeah.
Yes.
So he's not coming back. Unless, plot twist, Westy Kid, a Ghostbusters team with either all male or a mixed squad. I don't want the SJW female Ghostbusters like the one in 2016. I don't honestly think that the women having an all-female thing is a social justice warrior thing.
Yeah,
fucking hell. I mean, it's like if you cast a woman as a doctor. It's like, social justice warrior? No, there are women doctors.
Yeah.
I think we need to get away from this social justice warrior stuff when it's like, there are women that do these jobs the same as men. It's totally normal. And also, it's actually nice.
Well, listen.
It's nice to have a better reflection of the world on the screen in front of us.
And that's part of the reason why I was on board with that Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
When you, again, it was Paul Feig, right?
Yeah, Paul.
He works great with these women comedians.
All the time. He works great with women, period.
Right. And so I was like, I go, you have funny women. You have a great director who knows to get the best out of these people, and none of that happened.
Yeah.
That's why I was disappointed.
I agree. Sarah Brock was saying in the chat, I don't care about remaking Ghostbusters anymore. Ghostbusters isn't being remade. This is a new movie. And I don't think we need to remake Ghostbusters because Ghostbusters is great. Sarah Brock, can Sigourney Beaver... Sigourney Beaver? is Sigourney Weaver's porno twin. Yeah, her porno stunt double. Please don't coup Google Sigourney Beaver. Or if you do it on your colleague's computer, not your own.
Sigourney Beaver. All on the phone right now is Sigourney Beaver.
Okay, Zeno Hour says, Simon, I can't believe it. That's classic.
Hi, boys. How are you?
That's
today?
Going on the show reel. This Ghostbusters news is both exciting and frustrating. Exciting because JR is a great choice, and I like the Stranger Things vibe. Also frustrating because why didn't they do this in 2016? Yeah, but to be honest, even before 2016, I remember I used to do a show on UK TV called Inside Hollywood, and this was around, like, 2011. And that I remember I did a piece on the fact that there was a Sony event, it was overseas, and they were pushing, they had a Ghostbusters sign, and that was when they were genuinely looking at doing a new Ghostbusters movie, still then with the original cast, you know, potentially doing that kind of thing, but it was a new Ghostbusters movie. And that was before they then looked at it saying, well, why don't we have an all-female Ghostbusters team? I think that's kind of, you know, that was the original plan, and then that got shelved for the other idea. Why that happened, I don't know. Westy Kid Xeno Hour, yeah, I agree with the Stranger Things vibe. I think this is great. Sarah Brockle, Ghostbusters scared me until I was like 12. It's such a great movie.
The opening 10 minutes.
Is genuinely like, you know, it's certainly intense. 2016 Ghostbusters was meh, in my opinion. Absolutely fine. You're entitled to that opinion. Mostly entertaining, but kind of forgettable. I think that's fair. And Ricky, welcome, Ricky. Always good to see you in the chat. I hope the cast are unknowns. They said they'll be teenagers, but I can't stand the weird fancy calling articles that'll make the same five children in Hollywood used all the time. No, absolutely fine. I think they should go with a younger, I don't think we should have, if we're going to have the original cast back, I think we should have them, as you say, in cameos as their characters. But I don't think we should try and bring them back, because I don't think that would work. I don't think anybody, realistically, as much as we love the Ghostbusters, nobody really, generally, unless it's like Liam Neeson, wants to see, they don't want to say pay to see these guys as old men Ghostbusters. I just don't think that's going to work. I think have them in the movie, but I think have them as
Grandpa
the main cast.
Busters.
I'd pay to see Bill Murray in a movie.
I would pay, but also we're not. They're not going to be. They've got our money. Well, they need to go for the younger. You and I, we're all going to buy tickets. We're there first night.
Right. Yes,
you know.
Yes.
So this money, tickets already sold. That sure. Sony know this is done. It's the other people that they need to bring in. They need to bring in a younger audience, especially if it's a new franchise, to build this forward. They need to bring it in and make it appealing to women in some way. That needs to come through. I think, to be honest with you, I don't think they'll need to overdo it in that department, because there are so many women that have an affinity with even the original Ghostbusters anyway. It was such a unisex product that it didn't matter what your gender was. You still enjoyed this movie. I say somehow. You still enjoyed this movie.
Sure.
So I think those are big. It's
going to be the cast of Stranger Things.
It was just a good fucking movie. Yeah. You know, and when you make a good movie, it lands. You don't have to have a target group. It's for everybody.
Right.
So as 2016 it wasn't like only ladies can see this film.
And if I may add, even the ladies. Original Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
That was a huge gamble.
Massive.
It was a huge gamble because there was nothing out there like it that really was that blend of horror and comedy. And in fact, even the studio, or Columbia, was like, we don't know exactly what we have here. And then when it hit, when that cast just gelled, and Bill Murray was on that, like he was on a string of hits and comedies, And this worked.
Yeah.
And it brought families in because it was PG at the time.
Yeah.
So But it was a gamble. Ivan Reitman was sweating bullets. It could have gone either way.
A couple of things I want to touch on before we move on, because we do have a lot to get through in the show this week. When I said earlier that, you know, we were discussing whether or not we thought the film had already started shooting. Ricky is saying the trailer was filmed specifically for just the announcement. I know that. We know that, of course, because obviously Jason had a conversation with Kevin Smith and others about the fact that he was filming this. This was a few months ago. So I do know that. Apparently they start shooting this summer. Yes, they do. But as far as, I mean, if they haven't started actually physically shooting, it's already heavily into pre-production.
Yeah.
And certainly that cast is in place, because if you're shooting a film this summer, the announcements are going to be coming, but they've locked these people in. So they already know who is going to be in this movie. Cue lots of think pieces about who's going to be in it, not Ghostbusters.
Right.
And I hope they don't go with the same five regular pieces. I think the idea from people saying, can't remember who it was in the chat, but saying they should go for new people. I think they should. Because in this case, we have a really good chance. There are a lot of really good people in this. That are available in the market, in the talent market right now. And Ghostbusters is a strong enough brand where you can play around with this. I'll tell you who I would love to, and we talked about her on the show, and I know you're a big fan of her, Amandla.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
She'd be fantastic.
I would love to see her in this.
Yes.
She is so good, and we haven't really seen her do anything comedic. Right. And having seen her speaking at the LAOFCS awards recently, she's got a nice sharp wit about her. Ellie Fisher, another one.
Oh, yeah.
Ellie Fisher would be great.
I was going to go,
you know?
I was just going to throw in the girl that's in Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
I love
I
forget her first, Roth.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
is, to me, she too is
just
wonderful.
It depends on how young they want to go, right? Like, it's like, depends. Do they want to do the 20-somethings? Do they want to do teenagers?
I think a mix of 20s and high teens,
I
think, agree. Will be good. I think that would. And also, it's also then, because you're at a certain age, it stops people being creeps.
Right.
Yeah. Which I would say in the 20s now.
I don't want, like, Muppet Babies, like, you know, so 10-year-olds. I think that's going to be quite difficult to sell. But I think certainly upper teens, low 20s, I think it'll be really good.
You know, but I know one of the...
Don't cross the street by you.
Because Dan Aykroyd always loves talking Ghostbusters. You know, one of his plots that they said we're working out with all-female cast is that the all-female cast had to save the original cast from some time vortex thingamajiggy.
Wouldn't that be awesome if they actually went with that plot?
It would have been a great plot.
But no, I think, I mean, lots. I mean, obviously, there are going to be so many theories and so many ideas, and everybody's got an opinion and an idea on this. I think it's really interesting. I think they should have a balanced cast. I think it should be men and women. I think that's really important. I think if they do tie it in by, like, being the relatives of the originals, great. You know, I think there's lots of options they have. And to be honest with you, I think it's in a really safe pair of hands. Because Jason is close to this, but he appears to be able to distance himself from material and be very sort of, you know, he's able to stand back a little bit and know what makes the best movie. Go ahead.
I'm making a prediction right now.
Okay.
Charlize Theron's going to be in it at some point.
Oh, she could be up for
as
the
villain. Oh,
Julie, you nut you.
Zool 2. Zulia. Yeah. Double the Zool, double the Earth.
Well, you know, with Jason Reitman, too, I think in establishing his career, it was about not being under the shadow of his dad, right?
Yeah.
Which, even if you're in the shadow of Ivan Reitman, you know, but I understand.
I'll happily be in that shadow.
Yeah,
yes,
me too.
I know.
But now, you know, now it's come the time where he's established himself, and it's like, I wouldn't be surprised. Mm. Again, I don't know for sure, but if his dad said, you know, son, there's no reason why you shouldn't take up the mantle on this. Like, you're a talented individual. I'm going to be by you. Like, you have a sense for comedy.
Yeah.
And you have a sense for, like, you can scare people, too.
Yeah.
And we'll get this cast. I'm excited.
But I think we have to have a new cast, because people are saying, don't do it a remake. And then if you bring the original cast back, I'm like, that's. You know, I just don't think that would work. I mean, although, having said that, if we are doing family stuff, I would love to see Rick Moranis come back. Let's get that guy out of retirement. I know why he took retirement, to look after his family. It's a very genuinely sad story, and I absolutely understand why he did that. But he turned down a cameo in the last one. I would love to see Rick Moranis come back. He is one of our greatest comedy talents and Canada's greatest comedy talents. He's just, I would love to see him come back. But Charlize Theron. Okay, let's move on. We're going to go back and do some chat stuff later on. Xenoran says, I like Scott's idea. I think we all do. I think that's a really good idea. Okay,
he doesn't
like
anybody's idea.
Chris McQuarrie returning for Mission Impossible 7 and 8 will film them back to back, which was the original plan for the previous two Mission Impossibles. I think this is great. I mean, Tom Cruise, he's still badass, but he's not getting any younger. Let's get these in.
Yes.
I spoke to Chris, obviously, a couple of months ago when Fallout came out on Home Entertainment, and he said he was umming and ahhing about doing another one. He hadn't decided whether he'd do a trilogy. This is more than a trilogy because it's four. It's a four-logy.
A quadrilogy. Yeah.
Guys, thoughts on this? Thoughts on Chris coming back? Thoughts on doing 7 and 8? And do they stop at 8? Or do they go up to 10? What do we do?
They do one more. Round it off at 9.
9?
Round it off.
Yeah.
That old classic 9 rounding off.
The rounding off of an odd number. Number.
Yep. Do you want 8 or 10? Let's round it off in the middle. Halfway?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Yeah. Do you want to Google rounding off?
No.
Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're all having, like, it's kind of funny. We're having all these flubs today. It's great.
We?
Not like,
because it's live.
You've been better today. Me and Simon are, like, going back to back.
Just, it's a train wreck.
Yeah.
Train wreck.
But, oh, my God. I think it's so funny that they just keep using Chris for this movie, because I feel like they're like, if it ain't broke, you know, we're not going to fix it.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Tom Cruise feels the same way, as well as cast and crew. And they'll bring, by this time too, hopefully we'll be able to get Jeremy Renner.
That's easy for you to say.
It's rubbing off, damn it.
Is Jeremy Rimmer Sigourney Beaver's porn brother? I just want to... Is okay. Yeah, this is a great show this week. Absolutely nailing it.
So, in the morning, yes, you know, Albert, you're right.
But they'll be able to bring him back.
Yeah.
And I always, like, I had thought or had heard, or maybe I'm just
made
maybe
up.
It was a fever dream that they had thought that his character would take over the mantle.
Yeah.
Because Cruz, like, wouldn't want to be doing this forever.
No.
But you know, I'm all in. McQuarrie's working on Top Gun.
Yeah.
So they'll finish that, and then they'll come back to this and round out Mission Impossible. Do they do more? I don't... Well, we'll have to see the longevity of Tom Cruise. I mean, he keeps on doing these stunts and blowing out his knees and legs.
Yeah.
He's not going to be... He'll be in a wheelchair.
Which then could be a crossover with X-Men.
Yeah. Right.
Or Glass.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, just naming movies with people in wheelchairs in now. But no, I mean, yes, it's very in right now. No, I just think that Chris McQuarrie, I mean, he did such a great job with the last two Mission Impossible movies. I really think he just, and he's clearly, and I said this, the interview's up on Forbes, it's been there for a while now. It's all right, everything is falling down around us, it's totally fine. I just think he and Tom, and there are certain directors that have... They just click. There's a chemistry, there's a natural kinship that they have that just works.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if I was Paramount, where I don't have Star Trek now, and Bumblebee didn't quite land the way that they expected, and there's not a lot of other stuff on their horizon that is franchisable that has legs like this, if you've got the ingredients to this magic recipe, make a big ass cake.
Right.
Keep baking it.
Yep.
Do it. Batch it out.
Now,
a baker's dozen.
Now
9.
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Now, does it become problematic if Top Gun does not do well?
No.
No.
You don't think
so? I don't think it does, because I think Tom Cruise as an entity, he has had plenty of movies that haven't landed. I mean, he's had some stinkers like The Mummy.
Oh, my God.
And Tom Cruise keeps on trucking, and Mission Impossible is about Tom Cruise. Right. It's about Ethan Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him doing badass shit around the world again and again and again and stepping it up. I think he's effectively bulletproof for Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. He could do little projects along the way and they could bomb or they could not happen. I think when it comes to Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible, the franchise is safe. Unless they do a really bad entry.
Right.
That's, you know, that's, and franchises happen. Fast and Furious, even though some of those make a lot of money, you really have lapses in quality.
Yep.
There are some of those that I'm really not a fan of. Most, you know, sort of some of the most recent ones. Didn't like the last one. No. Well, that was terrible. So I think, I think it'll withstand it.
And let's not forget, again, his Cruise and Macquarie, where they seem to really shine, is when Macquarie is writing and directing, like Jack Reacher.
Yeah.
It's a great example. The following Jack Reacher was, which wasn't directed by Macquarie, didn't do as well, wasn't as good as a movie, right?
Yeah.
The Mummy was, you know, Macquarie lent his talents to that movie, but it wasn't directed by him.
Yeah.
Going into Top Gun, now Top Gun has, again, a historical nostalgic cachet going in for it. It's got a decent director involved, but I heard the script is a mess. That's why they bring in Macquarie. He's got to fix this up. They got to fix that movie. To your point, if it doesn't necessarily land, funny, it's not going to harm this Mission Impossible franchise, because I think people really do look forward to seeing Ethan Hunt. And now that they know that the same guy who's been writing and directing, and they've just been getting more and more solid and better, you know, I just can't wait to see what they pull out.
Yeah. I mean, I think with regards to Tom Cruise, people saying Tom Cruise is an android, he's a cyborg. No, I mean, he's just a guy that goes hard on these movies.
Yeah.
You know, he gives it all he's got, and he loves doing his own stunts, even though it does cause him damage. But we're talking about his age. Westy Kid says Liam Neeson is in his 60s, and he keeps doing action movies, and nobody questions his ability. Yes, absolutely true. But if you compare Liam Neeson's on-screen action sequences and Tom Cruise's on-screen action sequences, they're very, very different.
Absolutely.
Liam Neeson doesn't hurl himself from roof to roof and fuck up his ankle.
No.
Tom Cruise does, and then keeps running.
Yeah, and Tom...
So they are both men of an age, but how they apply that and how they use their age and what they do within that is different.
Right.
So they are both, yes, they are both older, but what they perform, I mean, I saw Cold Pursuit this week, and the action in that is great, but it's very different to the action that if it was Tom Cruise doing it, Tom Cruise would be doing.
Right.
So yeah, so it's a point, but I think that's a slightly flawed point. Zeno, I was saying, Simon, who do we want to play the villain and or join the team in these two MI movies? I would like to see Rami Malek as a villain.
That's a good choice.
I think he would be really, really good. I mean, I know there's been talk of him doing Bond, which he was sort of very coy about, but I just think that I think he'd be a great villain. I think he'd be so really cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, do we have anything more to talk about on that, or can we move on?
Nope.
Great. Okay, let's talk about Final Destination Reboot. This broke just after the show last week. Grrr. Yeah, it's coming from the guys who did the Saw franchise. They're Saw franchise writers.
Sure.
They did some of the latter entries in that franchise. Final Destination Reboot, I mean, it's one that even a couple of months ago when we were talking about Blumhouse and franchises that they could take over and buy and redevelop. To me, I think they would have done a great job with this, but the guys behind the original Final Destination movies have given this their blessing. Final Destination is one of my favorite horror franchises. I think it's all about the kills.
Yes.
And the kills are spectacular. And I think the narrative weaving in to bring it all together is great. And it's very similar to what happened with the Saw franchise. And I think this is a great pairing and a really good way to take it forward. And we've seen some really... There's occasional bump in the road, but we've seen some really nice revivals of classic horror franchises and classic horror figures in the last couple of years. First of all, Dimitri, you're nodding on this, so let's go to you first.
Yeah, I mean, I think Final Destination, you know, when you go back to the original... It was original.
Mm.
It was created and developed by people who were already popular for writing on the X-Files and coming up with some of their best episodes, right? So you had that supernatural feel. And as it went on, some movies were better than others. The one in 3D was great, by the way.
Yeah.
And then you had Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who may have been in that one.
No, that was the third one.
You know, and I just love her. I think it's time. Why not? It really is. It's a fun... story for a horror movie, but it's a good horror premise. It's great to update it today.
Yeah.
And I think there is so many things that can be done with technology being, I'm not talking about special effects, but things that they can use as the
MacGuffin.
Death. Yeah.
Yeah. The MacGuffin.
So yeah.
The first movie, when I saw the first movie, I remember it, that was one of the rare horror movies that actually really kind of scared me, because it was something where I felt the deaths felt very realistic, right? Mm-hmm. Like they were all situations where you can picture yourself being a part of.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole airplane thing in the beginning. You know, like how many people have not had that fear?
Right.
And then they have.
Well, I hadn't before I'd seen Final Destination.
You haven't?
Well, I did.
I hadn't. Now I have it. I also can't drive behind a truck with loads of shit back.
Don't you still think about that all the time now?
Yeah.
And it's funny.
All the time.
I think about that too. And it's
funny. And we're not the only ones, because I see people tweet about it behind like a thing with like loads of like ladders. And it's like, I'm going to die.
And that was what made that movie, to me, so suspenseful and made that work so well, is because, again, original idea. And it just made the natural world very scary. Right. Anything you could be doing. I don't know. Even the thing about, as far-fetched as that was with the metal coming up from the train, when I'm sitting there, I watch someone standing there, I'm kind of like, shit, what happens if something flies off the train?
Shit happens.
I mean, but, you know, I was a big fan of the franchise, I think, up until about number 4. And then I started, the 4 and 5 really lost me. But I'm
see,
on
the
board.
The final entry.
Yeah.
The final is Destinationist.
Yeah,
that's really good, and they have Tony Todd back. Bring back Tony Todd. Bring back Tony Todd.
You have
in anything. Yeah. Just bring it back.
Agreed.
Right.
Agreed. Final Destination also introduced movie audiences to something, because it was the first time we got the bus splat.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
It was the first time. And then how many times do we do that? Now?
Everything now. Since. Everything. And then it's become a comedic joke and everything. Like Mean Girls.
People talking about this. Ricky saying Final Destination franchise is such a guilty pleasure, and I'm so excited. One of my favorite and overlooked horror franchises. Fuck yeah, Ricky. Glamoury Final Destination is not a horror so much as it's a suspense thriller. Yes.
Okay.
I do kind of get that, but it also, I mean, it does slip into the horror category. It's kind of, it's
supernatural.
Yes, it's classed as horror, even though it's not stabby stabby horror. Xeno Arrow, the original Final Destination, is still the best. Yes, I agree with that, but the others offer so much. Bobby, can Scott and Dimitri get the mic closer? The sound is lower than Simon's.
Yeah, sure.
I also do have a very loud voice.
Thank you. He does.
So apologies for that. Westy Kid, the best Final Destination is Final Destination 3. Everybody has a favorite. Nothing beats the roller coaster scene. And Mary Elizabeth acting in that scene was worth an Oscar.
The roller coaster scene is good.
It's good. I don't know if it deserves an Oscar.
But the roller coaster scene.
It's amazing.
It was great.
It's great. Yeah. I also love the NASCAR scene
in
the movie. I mean, Scritch, tire coming. Bobby, tilt the mics closer. Glamoury Bobby is preferred. Lol, Bobby B. Okay. So, I mean, a lot of people are welcoming this. Going back to Mission Impossible very quickly. Xeno, I was saying Benicio del Toro should show up in MI7-8. I would have said yes about 2 years ago, but it seems to me at the moment that Benicio del Toro is cropping up in a lot of things.
Yes.
And as much as I like him as an actor, and sometimes he's a villain, and I'm just like, no.
No.
I think we have more in the talent pool, and this is a continual bugbear of mine in the industry, where you find one person and you go, let's use them up. Let's burn him. You know, like Tiffany Haddish. I love Tiffany Haddish, but last year, Tiffany Haddish movies were like buses.
Right.
And a lot of them didn't land. It overcrowded the market. And Tiffany is a great talent, but you're just going to, oh, another one. And we do it with people like, Kevin Hart.
Oh, Kevin Hart.
Dwayne Johnson, several other people. And it's like, you know, there was a time for a while where it was almost like Saoirse Ronan.
Oh, was, my
like,
God,
being
yes.
cast in so many things. So I just think that we, he is great. There are also other great people, and I think we should maybe expand the repertoire so we don't get sick of seeing these greats. Final Destination, really happy about that. Little little bit gutted it's not a Blumhouse Corner entry.
I know.
But there you go. We haven't had a Blumhouse Corner entry for a little while, but we do have Happy Death Day 2 coming
up soon.
Don't
worry, it's coming.
Glass. Okay, let's talk about... Oh, yeah, Glass, yeah. We're going to talk about that later. Oh, yeah, forgot about that. Let's talk about the Witches remake. It's found its Grand High Witch. Anne Hathaway?
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You happy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, listen. A good choice. I'm just glad it's not Meryl Streep.
Well, yeah. It's still coming.
She would have been great, but she would have been, I think, no. I mean, they could still find a Mrs. Topsy-Turvy style role for her somewhere in the movie. But,
come on. I
think she'd be good. I thought Anne Hathaway was great in the Oceans movie that came out last year.
She's the best thing about that movie.
Yeah, about it.
That I just can't help think they could have been a little bit more creative with that casting.
I don't know. I think she's going to have fun with that.
She's going to need it after Serenity. That's all I'm saying.
Oh.
Oops. Whoa. Hey. Ow. Ow.
I'm like the cat. Hey, like...
So, but wait a minute, she wasn't in Serenity. She's not in the Firefly franchise.
No,
there's apparently another.
I know.
Yeah, you do? Nobody else knows.
No, I know.
No one else knows it's even coming out.
Awkward.
Box office flop.
Whoopsie.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm down for the
casting. Yeah, so The Witches remake. You think Anne Hathaway's a good choice in that?
Yeah, I think Robert Zemeckis needs to.
Oh, he needs a... He needs a hit.
Yeah, he needs a... He needs a make good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Marwin.
No.
Marwent.
Yeah.
So.
Marwen, did that come out?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice.
Down the toilet.
Yeah. But maybe this is something he can have fun with and stick a little bit of Back to the Future in the end. When he runs out of ideas. I love Bob Zemeckis, but that was
just one of the
shittest creative calls I have seen in cinema in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm angry with him about that. Netflix raising subscription prices in largest price hike ever. I quit!
No, shit.
No one's
like they have to do this at this point. Yeah. How many new projects did they greenlight with budgets between $60 million and $200 million that they announced? I think it was like 75 or 80 of them for this year alone.
Yeah.
They have like 5 movies at Sundance already coming out, including the new one from the guy who did Nightcrawler. I can't remember his name right now, but Jake Gyllenhaal is in it as well as Rene Russo.
Velvet Buzzsaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they need those. They need to give him his paycheck, so.
Yeah.
I mean, shocker.
But it's not, it's not much.
It's not much.
It's a couple of bucks.
Right.
Less than a cup of coffee.
Well, it's their largest increase that they've, I think, ever had.
Yeah, but it is. But it's got to be taken in scale.
Right.
It's only a couple of dollars. And, you know, the thing is that... yes, some content is going to be shifting to other platforms. NBC, Disney Plus, all this kind of thing. They've got to replace this content. Otherwise, what you get is people going like, there's less on Netflix, there's shit on Netflix, because they have to fill the quota with some product, and then you bitch about paying $9.99 anyway. It's not worth $9.99. So what do you want? More fresh content? Or shitty, like, it's Benchwarmers 2!
Right.
Level content.
I like
coming
Benchwarmers
on.
Too. I want that.
That's actually a real thing.
No, it isn't.
Dude, I'm going to show you a picture of my phone. I'm not lying.
Really?
I am not lying.
Well, I got sent.
Look at that shit. Look at that right there. It landed on my desk this week. Benchwarmers 2 Breaking Balls, starring Chris Klein and John Lovitz. It's a real thing.
I can't.
It's an actual DVD that landed on my desk this week. I'm not making that shit up.
Wow.
Hey, cowgirls, look, it's grass. Don't eat it. That's John Lovitz from.
But it's.
From Major,
it's yeah, but it's. I mean.
Remember when he killed Newsroom? Not Newsroom, News Radio? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was John
Lovitz.
But yeah,
so Netflix raising subscription prices.
It is what it is. Yeah, fine. I mean,
prices
I'm not going to. I can't. It's hard to get upset. There it is.
They have to.
Yeah,
they have to. They have
to. It's a real thing.
There it is.
Breaking news on Meet the Movie Press, everybody. Who says we have new scoops anymore?
Thanks.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Hey,
I didn't know this was...
One more dig for Netflix. Someone has to pay for that Roma Oscar campaign because no one else is paying for it.
Yeah. Crazy. I mean,
I mean, yeah, and with what they paid for Bird Box and going forward,
it's like they finally start advertising that movie. Yeah, congratulations, after like a month.
So it's not a surprise. If people are upset about it, you know, I mean, the people that they're going to lose, if they lose anybody, you know.
Yeah, no, they're not really going to lose anybody. No. I mean, let's be real. It's like, I mean, I used to work in radio many years ago. I mean, look at this face. Are you fucking surprised? But it's obviously, if you're listening to this, that makes no sense. Yeah, oh, my God, I've had a stroke. I can't see.
You do have a great face for radio.
I do. And everybody's like, every time we would change a breakfast show, it was like, Brian's left. I'm never listening to the show ever again. 2 weeks later, they're back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I quite like Stephen now. Stephen's quite good. You know, I'm going to miss Brian, but I like Stephen. So I don't think realistically, there will be some people that might have a little bit of a, you know, a hissy fit and go, meh, fuck Netflix. But what are they going to do? They're going to spend $10 on a different streaming service or whatever. So I think the way to counter this, if people are going to, and I do this with Hulu, I'm a Spotify subscriber. Mm. By the way, Meet the Movie Press is available on Spotify. It's also available on Podcast One, on iTunes, on Arrow, several other platforms as well. But I just think that, you know, realistically, when it comes down to it, people either won't be bothered to cancel, or the dollars is not going to make a difference. And if they unsubscribe, they're going to come back a couple of months later. It's not like movie
I agree. And I'm going to throw in one other example. Okay. But I have Sarah Brackle said something that just made me laugh.
Okay.
It's awesome. Scott is going to make Dimitri's head explode.
It's like Scanners.
So here's a great example of this. Disney raises its ticket price once, if sometimes not twice a year.
Yes.
Yeah.
They just had one of their largest increases ever. So if you wanted to go to Disneyland for one day this weekend, for example, $150. Now, people bitch and complain about that, but the park is still as crowded as it ever is.
Yeah.
So
It's theme parks. Where the hell do you think all this money comes to build these new things?
Right.
Star Wars Land. That shit's not cheap.
No. Nope.
As a whole, whether it's media, whether it's a theme park, I always ask myself, where's the bubble? When is that going to pop?
Where's the beef?
And $13.99, I don't think, is the bubble for
Netflix.
Not
at all. Considering the fact that they used to charge, and what people seem to forget, and I remember this because I used to work at Blockbuster, things like that. Back in the day,
$19.99.
You know, $19.99, $24.99 for that movie pass thing that they used to do. So when you think of like $13.99... and the amount of content you're getting, and original content.
Sure.
And Netflix is the best in the game right now.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
the best in the game. Yeah. So, like, no one's, like, I know everyone's like, oh, man, I got to, you know, divvy up another $4. But, like you said, no one's going to throw that away. It's like, they watch it.
And I don't think families too,
it's
are going to keep it.
It's less than the cost of one movie ticket still.
Yeah, because, like, if you're a family of four, and your two kids have their own laptop or whatever, you need to get that higher subscription so that you can get different things. As a single person myself, I can use it on my... there you go.
Yeah. Oh, the single great ladies. Oh, the single ladies.
Now my
head is going to explode. But I can watch it on my iPad, my TV. It's also
bundled with like T-Mobile. If you have a certain a bundle with them, like a family bundle, you get Netflix for free. So a lot of people who get Netflix, and let's also be honest, a lot of people, and they're clamping down on this, so I do not suggest this is a good thing to do, they share their logins.
Right.
The Kennys, as I call them. Share your Kenny. Share your Kenny logins. Bob B saying Roma Oscar train is coming down the tracks hard. Absolutely. They're spending a huge amount of money on that. Sarah saying no interest in Roma. But Jack Dennis, welcome to the show, Jack. Good to see you're taking time from the set of Top Gun 2. don't tell Netflix, but I would pay $20 a month for the subscription. It's worth it. I think they know that. They do know that. Netflix is the number one streaming service right now. Yeah, absolutely.
In the world.
Also, Jack Dennis saying, holy crap, Benchwarmers 2 is real. Netflix declines to buy it. Netflix is not going anywhere. I don't think, even if anybody does a protest cancel, they're going to come back because they're going to want to watch whatever. I mean, I think the amount of people that will actually unsubscribe because of the price rise is... nobody likes paying more for anything.
No.
Whether it's, you know, whether the price of toilet paper goes up in the local supermarket or whatever, or your coffee or your gas, we still buy it. We still pay it. You know, and people don't have, I mean, I still do, but a lot of people don't have physical media anymore. Right. So a lot of people aren't going to go, fuck Netflix, I'm going to watch my DVD collection. Because that shit ain't there!
Well, I have.
And they cut the cable, so they're not watching. So it's like, what do you do? It's fine. I think, you know, they're going to put the price thing. Okay, we've got a couple of things to run through before we go into, just want to hit these news stories before we go in and we talk about the week's big movie releases. And also a couple of trailers dropped this week. Disney to make live action Hunchback of Notre Dame musical, possibly starring Josh Gad. And also Disney's live action Pinocchio may have lost Paul King. Let's first of all talk about Hunchback of Notre Dame.
It's an odd choice, right? I always feel that this is an odd choice because the animated movie didn't do that well. The original source material is very dark and gritty.
Yeah.
That is like based on a lot of musicals. And I wish someone else besides Disney would do this.
I agree weird. That it is an odd choice. I was kind of surprised, but for me, this is a multi-layered thing. They keep on announcing these movies, and yet we haven't even seen Lion King yet, or Dumbo, or like, and
it's
they
circle
keep
circle of life, Dimitri. Circle of life.
I get it, but
Aladdin.
The circles get a lot. Like, stop with the announcements.
101 right, Dalmatians, but, which I'm
you know,
doing.
I don't need to. We talked about what a nice surprise Ghostbusters was. Why do I need to know about this movie that's going to be, like, what, in 10 years? And it's Hunchback.
Yeah.
It wasn't my most favorite animated Disney movie. I'm not, like, going into this.
Yeah.
So excited. And again, I'm thinking, I'm waiting for Lion King to come out.
Yeah.
And you're telling me about a movie that's not going to be in theaters.
Breaking news right now.
Years.
Pocahontas coming soon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got Mulan coming. Yeah. So.
Right.
Sword in the Stone, Oliver and Company.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to get to everything.
Yeah.
We're going to get to everything eventually. Three Caballeros.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's coming back.
Yep. But
the
no,
Black
so,
Cauldron.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I'd love that.
I like that movie.
I love PG-13 rated one. Bit dark, bit gritty.
I like
that. I'd definitely do that one. Okay, so let's talk about Pinocchio may have lost Paul King. Bit of a shame. Paul is very much in demand in Hollywood right now. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, he's attached to Wonka. So we'll see what happens with that as well. Obviously, people are like, they weren't sure whether he was going to return for Paddington 3. I wouldn't have a problem if he passed on Pinocchio. I think he's got a lot of stuff up his sleeves.
Yes.
So I think that's okay. Brief thoughts on that?
I feel the same way you do. I think he's perfect for Wonka.
Okay. Me too.
Pay attention to Wonka and do it right.
Quick casting. Monopoly movie. Will pass go with Kevin Hart in the lead. Tim Story directing.
No. No, not on board on this.
I'm afraid
he's going
to
play the thimble. Like, what do you play in that? Like, is he going to be the old rich man? What do you do?
I don't know.
Park Street, Park Ave?
I don't know.
No.
Danny Glover joins the Jumanji sequel cast. I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
You know that line's going to be in there somewhere. You know that line's going to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I love Danny Glover. I think he's great. Coming to America 2, finally moving forward with Eddie Murphy. Starring and Craig Brewer directing. Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is.
McDowell's.
And Spielberg's West Side Story has found its Maria. Basically, she's a 17-year-old student from New Jersey who has an amazing singing voice. She got discovered by Spielberg when she was singing Shallow. We're all in the shallow now. On the internet. Great. I mean, that's the way to find new talent.
Yes, I agree. Elsie Fisher was found that way, so.
Yeah, I think great.
I don't normally.
She's not a YouTube star.
No.
But she's someone who's on YouTube who is clearly a star. A star is literally born.
Literally.
Yeah.
I don't usually watch these things, but since it was with Spielberg, I said, all right, I'll give her. Let me take a look and see how she can sing. Because it wasn't just Shallow. There were a couple of other things.
Oh, yeah.
That
she
had sung
one
as well.
Song. She went, I'm just going to stick this on.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The girl can sing.
Yeah.
I mean, and she looks great. I think, fingers crossed, she'll be phenomenal for the role. There are hard shoes to fill.
Oh,
yes,
absolutely. So. Talking of shoes, Ashley Menzel. Is in the chat today. Always has amazing shoes. Hunchback has some of the most underrated music in all of Disney. I think that's fair. Sarah Brockle saying we need 10 Paddington movies. Yes, Sarah. Yes, we do. And also saying Dimitri's head is just going to explode. The Black Cauldron would be brilliant in live action. Wesley Kidd, yes, you are correct. Well done. Awesome. Jack Dennis, Tim Story is just not a good director.
No, he is not.
He is not. Sorry. Xeno Hour, Paul King should be getting offers from Lucasfilm, Warner Studios, or Warner Brothers DC. Paul is not short of meetings right now. And clearly he's very popular at Warner Brothers, so I think that bodes very, very well. I would not be surprised if in the next couple of years, if David Yates steps aside from the Fantastic Beasts movies, if Paul King gets attached to that movie. Yeah. Talking of movies that people are being attached to, I was at the Critics' Choice Awards the other day, and I spoke to... Mary Poppins story coming up! spoke to Rob, the director. And the co-writer of Mary Poppins. And I was talking, we know that there's a sequel kind of being discussed and, you know, another movie. And then, you know, it's very loosely being. And I said, so what, you know, we've got any ideas? And there are 8 Mary Poppins books that were written by P.L. Travers. And he said, you know, you can kind of use those narratives and build them into something. He is very interested in setting it in the 1960s.
Oh, wow.
In London. Because he said, we haven't seen Mary Poppins in that. So they were talking about maybe on Carnaby Street with Twiggy.
with Twiggy. May I have to jump in. Now Scott's head is about to explode.
So maybe Mary Poppins. And I said, what is she going to do next time? I said, we've seen Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins returns.
The same thing again.
Is it like, what is Mary Poppins is
back? They're going to lose the house what again? No.
That's just reckless. But yeah, okay. So we'll see what happens.
I'm the only one on the panel that really liked the movie, but I'm fine.
Dude, you're not the only person,
though.
Emily Blunt. Before we switch to this week's big movie release, Masters of the Universe reboot is back on, and it wants the guys who wrote the Men in Black reboot to find the power of Grayskull. I love Masters of the Universe.
Me too.
That amazing movie with Dolph Lundgren and Frank Rubberfist Langella in it. I love it. I know it's dog shit.
Yeah.
But I love that movie.
I love the action figures. I had those growing
the
up.
The action figures are one awesome. Thing I... Yeah. I
some of Courtney Cox's best work.
Yeah, well, yeah. Just outside saying. Of Scream.
You know, Dolph Lundgren still had the He-Man garb for a long time.
I'm sure. He probably still can fit in it, too.
Probably can.
Probably. Son of a bitch.
Damn it. Okay. It's okay. We're not bitter. Okay, let's move on to this week's big movie release. It made $3.7 million in previews last night. Looking at a weekend, upwards of $50 million. I'm thinking around $55. I don't think it'll go much higher than that. You guys around that same figure?
They lowered that figure.
They lowered it quite considerably.
Like by $20
million. Yes, that's quite a cut. If you lost $20 million, you'd be like, oh, dear.
I lose $20, and I'm like, oh.
Okay, let's talk about Glass. Let's talk about Glass, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Glass, we've all seen
this movie. I'm the only person who liked it on this panel.
I didn't dislike it. I was just a little bit disappointed with it, to be honest with you. I know already we've had people in the chat saying that they did not like it. Glamoury saw it last night, did not like it at all. In fact, if I go back to the top of the chat, what she actually said specifically was, Glass was awful last night. It's slow, and the third act was its own short. I think that's fair. I didn't think it was terrible. It wasn't what I would have liked.
To me, the problem is the middle. Mm. I feel like it's very ambitious in the beginning and it's very ambitious in the end.
Yeah.
And it becomes very self-aware in the end. And I kind of enjoyed that. And I know a lot of people is very off-putting for a lot of people. Mm. But for me, I kind of appreciated seeing an independent superhero film kind of unfold with Sam Jackson really disappearing into this role, which is something that I feel is very rare for Samuel L. Jackson. But I enjoyed what they did with it. I will say that there's two real big negatives for me about this movie. The one is that I think Sarah Paulson is the weakest link of the film. I think there's a lot of plot development about her character when it didn't need to be there. We kind of got what she was, and we didn't need all this, like, that middle piece was just so focused on her character. That's where it lost me. And then I know that this was a controversial opinion we talked about last week, but
I think that the budget hurts this movie because I feel like there's this in the beginning of the movie, there's this lead into like this big sequence that's going to go down. And that sequence never happens. Mm. And it almost feels like they had to tell
M. Night. Change
their minds. Yeah, they were like, nope, we're not. We can't do this. We can't afford it.
You know, I didn't even look at it that way. I looked at it as they stayed away from the sequence because the sequence itself is cliche.
Mm. But they were talking about that so much for the movie
You're absolutely right. I don't want to really go into the movie because many people who may be watching this are spoiling.
Yeah, no spoilers.
I was just disappointed. It started off good. The middle, I agree with you. The middle really, it meandered.
Yeah.
And it really got muddled down unnecessarily.
Yeah.
There's also exposition in this movie that's spoken aloud and it stops the movie.
Yeah.
It's an exposition wall that like you're watching, all of a sudden somebody says, oh, blah, 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 blah. And they're explaining everything to you. And you're like, oh, okay. I didn't get it. But now that you hit me over the head with a huge hammer,
yeah,
I get it now.
Well,
and the end was a little messy.
It was messy. And considering that M. Night is known very much for these, like, oh, what the fuck, you know, turns at the end. It kind of had a couple of little ones like that, but it didn't really. It kind of like, it's like a car running out of gas.
Hmm.
And it just felt a little bit like that for me, where it was kind of sputtering towards the end, and it just didn't deliver. You know, like you say, I think they scrimped on the end of the action sequences, and I think some of the effects, we discussed this at breakfast this morning, some of the effects are not great. There's an epic scene at the end, and I think some of the special effects for James McAvoy could be better. I thought the makeup on the face of Samuel L. Jackson's mother was not good. It looked bad. I don't know what they did, but it didn't look right, and she's on screen quite a lot, and it's quite distracting. In the middle, for me, the biggest problem was the third act. In the middle, it was flabby. I think they could have cut it down. There were lots of bits of plot that didn't make sense, and once you've seen the movie, we can talk about that next week, because it would have been out for a week. It just simply didn't make sense to me. They just didn't gel. Sarah Paulson, I thought, was good, but I don't think there was any real justification. There wasn't a payoff for her character in the way that I would have hoped, considering how strong M. Night draws these characters. And I think if they'd have thrown $5 million at it and just maybe just been a little bit sharper with it, it didn't have his laser focus that I think some of his other movies have. And I think that he financed this himself. He made this himself. And I think sometimes, and this isn't always the case, in fact, it's often not the case, that laser focus of a studio where you go, we need to cut that, we need to do this, we need to re-examine that, here's an extra viewpoint on this, blah, blah, blah. I think that that was necessary with Glass,
right,
that we just didn't see. It is not a terrible movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not as good as I expected it to be. But I mean, you know, it's not a disaster, but it was fine.
I liked it a little bit better than Split. I was not a fan of Split. I will say this, this isn't a spoiler. I know at least two people last night at Century City and IMAX walked out.
I went never for a to be pee. Seen again. I went for a pee in the movie, so, and I never get up and go for a pee.
What was the budget for this?
About 20 million.
20?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just, to me, it's funny because the movie hints upon this, and it sets something up at the end. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but there's like this whole little gag that Samuel L. Jackson does with the movie, kind of like you were saying, explaining and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then there's a line where it's like, this is an origin story. And it's funny because...
And if you don't like oranges...
Yeah. You're screwed.
I'm more of a tangerine guy.
But... It's fascinating to me because the way that I looked at this movie when I walked away from it was what it set up for the future. That I think
plexiglass.
You didn't like it?
No, we don't need it. We don't need it. We don't need it. No. No.
I like plexiglass.
I don't know.
You like plexiglass?
Plexiglass.
Yeah. Okay, so plexiglass.
You don't like my origin story? Making fun of my freaking New York.
Oh, origins. Oh, this is oranges. Okay, a couple of things before we have to wrap up the show. We're running out of time. Jack Dennis saying Glass will still make a killing at the box office with a modest $20 million budget, especially considering the talent. Yes, I think it's going to have quite a good opening weekend. I think it's going to hold okay for the next couple of weekends, and then I think by weekend three into four, I think it's going to tail off quite a lot and lose a hell of a lot of screens, even by that third week.
Well, going we're going to see
a lot of front loaded attendance on this one.
Yeah,
and I think the word of mouth then, which I think will be middling, I think is going to force it to tail off a little bit quicker.
But it's perfect for Universal when you think about this, because so they have Glass. We're going into February, and then February 14th, they've got Happy Death Day to You.
Yeah,
so that's they'll still keep screens.
As a studio. Yeah. Zafira is saying, I wish it was a better movie. The cast was some great actors. It's a shame. Bruce Willis, I have to say, and this is something you don't hear very often, is actually really good in this. Yeah. Scott Boswell, I still want to see it. Yep, Scott, go and see it. Make up your own opinion. We utterly endorse that. Glass budget, apparently $20 million. I love this one. Blink twice if a chubby Haley Joel Osment showed up at the end claiming he sees dead people. Okay, so finally, before we go, I just want to very quickly touch on John Wick 3.
My favorite, though, is you're called out for fat-shaming the movie.
Fat-shaming Glass because calling it flabby. Yeah. No, I'm funny. Not fat-shaming. Let's very quickly, John Wick 3, we need to end the show. We're overrunning. Sure. John Wick 3, trailer this week dropped. Anybody else pee their pants?
It looks good.
It looks good. So I didn't pee my pants, but it looks good.
Yeah.
It looks like John Wick and John Wick 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited about that movie. So absolutely excited. Okay, a lot of people, as always, you can continue the chat on the YouTube platform or reach out to us on Twitter. You can do that either at Simon Thompson on Instagram and Twitter, at Meet Movie Press, or to Dimitri and Scott as well. Dimitri, who are you online and where can we find you?
At DMovies1701. Still trying to come up with another Twitter thing. You folks, please help. I want to try to use my name, but at DMovies1701, you can find me here at the awesome Meet the Movie Press and with Anatomy of a Movie.
DMovies does suggest something completely different. Scott Menzel!
Scott Menzel, find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Other Scott M, and then tune into LAOFCS Weekly, which is at 11 a.m. today.
No Spider-Man talk, no Xeno Hour, no Spider-Man talk. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but that's another trailer. It just looks good. We're going to see more from that in the future.
Spider-Man.
And the other, everything else just kind of made the cut. We can't please everybody. We'll talk about that maybe next week. Thank you so much for watching the show. If you like it, do tell your friends, like, subscribe, do anything else you need to do, tweet about it, put it on Facebook. If you know, mention it to your family, mention it to your coworkers until they ask you to shut up. Have a great week. Go and see Glass if you want to. Make your own mind up. We really appreciate it. We'd love to have your thoughts on that movie in the comment section on YouTube. Thank you so much. Nice. This has been Meet the Movie Press. We'll see you next week, but you won't because you won't be here.
No, it'll be at Sundance. Sorry.
We're going to have Kit in your seat.
Yes.
Fantastic. Have a great week, everybody.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.